The contrast between the beginning of the world and where it had evolved to could not be sharper and more stark than in the town of Bethlehem at the time of the birth of Jesus. In the garden, no one needed clothes or shelter. In Bethlehem, one searched for a place to stay. In the garden, one could procreate without pain. But in Bethlehem, birth pangs accompanied the birth of even the Savior. In the garden, there was never-ending life. And in Bethlehem, and shortly after the birth of the Savior, there was death to innocent children. There's just no way to talk about the birth of Jesus, the one who sits on the throne, without mentioning the unholy man who occupied a throne at the time of Jesus' birth. Herod was king. Due to his corrupt bargain with the Roman Empire, he enjoyed the power, but experienced no love from his subjects. He was unloved for good reason. He was debauched, insane, and cruel. Herod was an old man by the time of Jesus' birth, and he would be, in fact, dead before Jesus was 4 years old. Yet he was so crazy that he felt threatened by news of a new infant king, and he put to death every child younger than 2 years old. In the 16th century, a lyricist wrote down the words to the Coventry Carol, which was sung beautifully tonight. The words say, "Herod the king, in his raging, charged he hath this day his men of might in his own sight, all young children to slay." You think of the grieving mothers and the fathers watching helplessly as their children are taken from them. You might even think of conflicted soldiers trying to follow the most brutal and absurd of orders. The contrast of the Garden of Eden and the time of Jesus' birth could not have been greater. Today, in the 21st century, that contrast still exists. The suffering goes on. I cannot think of the birth of the newborn king without seeing the contrast between his love and mercy with the evil of those tyrants who cause so much suffering in this world today. There are currently 50 dictatorships in the world. Many of them, you know, in nations like Syria, China, Turkey, Russia, North Korea, the Philippines. Let me be prophetic, if I may. The days of those dictators are numbered. They seem powerful now, but they, like Herod, have a destiny to wind up powerless, forgotten, on the ash heap of history. But scriptures promise us one day the newborn king will have the government upon his shoulders. Of his reign, the scriptures promise, there will be no end. His kingdom will bring the restoration of the Garden of Eden, ushering in a paradise where there is no mourning or crying or pain because the first things have passed away. But what about now? Don't you suffer now? Has anyone here gone untouched by pain in this life? We're here in this suffering world, and it aches sometimes to be alive. Tragedy misses no one. But Jesus is more than just a king. He's more than a despot, even an enlightened despot. He's the Son of God. He comes to save our souls, to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves. His time here on earth, the beginning of which we celebrate at Christmas time, is proof that he knows what suffering is all about. He was himself brutally tortured and publicly killed. His breath drew short as he hung upon the cross, suffocating for the sins of humanity. He is God, but not some distant God, callously looking down upon us with no ability to connect to the pain and suffering we daily experience. No, instead, having been one of us, Jesus is intimately connected to all our pains, our hurts, our tragedies, and our suffering. Scriptures promise one day he'll put it all to an end. And until that day, while we're still here between the garden and the kingdom, he desperately seeks a relationship with you. He came into this suffering world waiting for you to invite him into your hearts, to let him be the leader of your life, where he can minister to your hurts, where he can guide you through your life, where he can be your greatest friend and soothe your human hurts that you will experience in this suffering world.